got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey! One time for Thursday. What's good? What's good? What's good?
This crowd doesn't get this, but I'll give it to them today. The start of the weekend, basically.
Yeah. You run that gimmick into the ground every Thursday, and all I ask you to do is just wait till the 5 o'clock traffic jam, and you refuse to do it. Now you're getting earlier. Now you're not doing it at 3. Now you're doing it at 12.
I still don't buy into this whole Friday's the weekend thing either.
What do you mean Friday ain't the weekend?
I hear you, because we here, right?
You putting in hours on your timesheet still?
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's not the weekend.
Man got a point. Man been cooking all day.
Hey, man. Look, like I always say, it's a little difficult with this job, but in typical like office job, Friday's the weekend.
Because you ain't doing
anything. Physically, I'm there.
Well.
Mentally,
well, sometimes
I'm somewhere
physically,
else.
You weren't even there, if we're being honest about it.
12 to 2 on Fridays. Kenny was always gone.
That's facts, too. That's look, I don't know what's crazier. The fact that I did that, yeah, or the fact that nobody ever noticed.
No. I was going to say, it's going to be pretty bad being a boss, like not even knowing your employees is gone. You could have been Batman for all they knew, bro.
Not only gone, the man was on the radio. Like, it's not like...
You imagine, listen, other guy's making a good point.
It's not like he just ducked out, took a long lunch, nobody knew what he was doing. Like, the man was literally live on the radio.
And no, not questioned once. Not questioned. There was only one person I was really worried about, and that was, like, the biggest boss, because he actually... Like, I would talk to him about sports all the time. And I do feel like if he would have found out, he wouldn't have tripped. He would have been like,
you know what,
oh,
the
man,
worst part is?
Like,
do you know what a kick in the ego that is to know that, like, hey, man, we're doing a really good job with this sports show. Meanwhile, not one single one of Kenny Caraway's workers his coworkers knew this man was gone doing a radio show.
Yeah, so what was your last day or your 2 weeks notice like? Was it like, oh yeah, hey boss, I'm gonna go go full time my other job. Wait, you got another job?
It was a bad breakup. It was just I'm out. It was bad because they kind of pissed me off with some other stuff.
Well, then if there's one thing we've learned,
don't piss me off.
I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover.
That's just my favorite story. The man had a whole other job.
On the low. On the low.
Going to lunch, guys. All right, Kenny. We'll see you. Sometimes 2 o'clock would come and he'd go back. Sometimes he wouldn't.
That was one of the good things about that job, though. Even before the show, like, I had kind of mastered being able to duck off a little bit. I wouldn't do nothing crazy, but I'd be, you know, lunch is supposed to be 30 minutes. I don't know. Maybe it's 50 today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, break's supposed to be at 10. Maybe it's at 9:30 today. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you could duck off over there. That was good stuff.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
We are in here, man. The worst slums of Sacramento. Thank you so much for being with us. Phone lines are open for you all day long. The Elk Grove Kia Talk line at 916-909-1320. Of course, you could jump in to the Chatty House brought to you by Matthews Mattress as well. Week 4 of the NFL season gets underway today. A huge game for the Dallas Cowboys as they are in New York against the Jets. This is a great point Jesse brought up earlier. This game for the Cowboys sure feels a whole lot like the game for the San Francisco 49ers. It's the Giants. It's the Patriots. Mm-hmm. It's two teams that we don't think are very good against two teams we went into the season thinking were pretty good. Now their issues are a little bit different. And the issue with the Dallas Cowboys may be that they're just, in fact, not very good. Mm-hmm. The issue with the San Francisco 49ers may be maybe their defense isn't clicking the way that it's supposed to. Maybe these injuries are starting to be a little one too many. But a win for the Dallas Cowboys tonight doesn't do a lot. It's kind of like, all right, we won. A loss? Ooh, a loss is bad.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of the same with the San Francisco 49ers. A win against the New England Patriots? All right. Everybody take a breath. A loss to the New England Patriots? Oh, man.
Yes and no. On the premise, yeah, it's the same thing. The Cowboys, like the 49ers, in my opinion, look, it's a game you got to win on Sunday. Let's not get it twisted. Mm-hmm. You got to win that game. But there's still something to fall back on in that situation. You know, we're dealing with some injuries. Debo will be back.
No, man.
Maybe McCaffrey will be back. You know, we'll work some things into shape. We're still very, very talented. Where if we go 1-3, we can recover. The Cowboys are not that talented.
Man.
The Cowboys are not that talented.
I hear you.
If you're an elite team like the 49ers are, don't you just kind of have to win games like this with right in front of you, the Patriots?
I mean, you're not.
You're losing, like, you're missing Debo and CMC and all that, but you still got a top 10 guy. Brock Purdy, Jordan Mason, still around 100 yards per game. He's supposed to be number one receiver. Like, Juwan, like, you have enough, and you're, like, this elite team. Like, you got to kind of take care of your business here, no? And if you don't, maybe it's...
Absolutely, you got to take care of your business, but I've seen the Niners be 3-5 and make it to the NFC Championship game in recent memory with Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback. When you have that type of talent, you can reel off. Like, I'm not saying it's likely or whatever the case may be, but when you have the roster that they have and the talent they have, saying everybody's healthy, you can reel off 6 or 7 wins.
Mm.
Like, they've done that the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the year they made it to the NFC Championship game and lost to the Rams, they were 3-5 that year at one point.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo at the quarterback. The following year, they had lost Trey Lance. They lost in Denver. They were 1-2. And then were they 1-3 at one point? I feel like there's a card. Nah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. They were 1-2 at one point. And then what did they finish the season doing? Winning? Brock Purdy comes in. Like, Jimmy had won some games.
They won like
13 or 14 in the season. That's when you have that type of talent, you can do that. I wouldn't advise trying to. I wouldn't advise being there. But you have the capability of doing that.
The Cowboys do not.
Like, the Cowboys do not have the roster to go 1-3 and then just bounce back and win a bunch of games. That's the only difference. The premise of what you're saying is 100% correct. But that's the only difference between the two teams. There is, because of the talent you have in San Francisco, the capability that you can rebound from this. The Cowboys cannot rebound. I don't think they can rebound from where they're at now.
You think the 49ers, how do they fix up the defense? How much of that do you think matters right now?
I don't know how much it can be fixed. I think a little bit more discipline on the defensive end, maybe some scheme stuff or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense so far and that defensive line, Kyle Madsen talked about it before the season. The defensive line is as weak as it's been in recent memory. So there's that. You're missing Dre Greenlaw in a major way. That's the one that always sticks out for me, not having him. You're able to cover. So when you're able to cover the way you are, at least that's what the numbers say, and you kind of look at the games. Maybe it's a scheme thing. Maybe, I don't know how they do it. More man, more blitzing, and leaving your their DBs out there to do work or something like that. Maybe it's more something like that. But I think you can get from wherever they're at. Let's say, I don't know for sure, but say they're 23rd. You can get to 15. It's almost like the Kings, right? Like, you can make some changes to get to middle of the pack, and then your offense comes around as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think there's much hope for the Cowboys. I don't think they have the roster. They got the stars, the three stars, but everything around them, they don't have a Juwan Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a Deamon or Lenore. They don't have a Fred Warner, or even looking at somebody like a Jordan Mason. They don't have that to lean back on.
I think a bigger concern, or as big of a concern, you talk about the talent discrepancy, a big difference, I should say, between the Cowboys and the 49ers is, while I think the 49ers losing will be bad. I don't think that there's any there's not a lot of finger pointing and friction going on right now. There's a lot of, we've got to figure some things out. Now, some people may be pointing the finger at Brandon Ayuk by what he's saying publicly. Kyle Shanahan certainly isn't hinting at that. And Kyle seemingly has had no problem throwing people under the bus. I don't know that he necessarily threw Jacob Cowling under the bus, but he pretty much said he hasn't figured it out yet, and that's why he's not out there. The Cowboys are finger pointing already, and they're doing it subtly, and they're, or I should say, they're not doing it. They're doing it not so subtly. They're doing it at the locker room right after the game. They're calling out Superman plays. They're calling out people's desire to play together as a unit. And you've got a situation. It doesn't feel like, at least publicly, that there's a lot of accountability for where the Dallas Cowboys are. You go out there and you lose to the Giants, a team that, I found the stat that Dak Prescott has beat them 12 straight times. You go out there now and that streak ends. After what happened last week, I don't see it getting better for them.
I used a lot of words and talked a whole lot, but I don't think the Niners are at the point that the Cowboys are. That doesn't mean the Niners are in a good spot, but I don't think they're close to the edge as the Cowboys are.
Agree.
And
100%.
And I think a loss tonight for the Cowboys would probably send them over the edge.
I agree. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I don't think they'd be able to recover from three straight losses.
But your original point, though, is like they're both playing games that they have to play, they have to win, that you don't get credit for if
right.
you do win.
That's it. That's it.
You know what I mean? You got to win them.
Like, you just calm the waters.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. So, yeah, in that respect, I agree 100% with what you originally said.
We'll come back. We'll talk more about the 49ers. Jesse just mentioned something about Brock Purdy that I want to ask you. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the W here this hour. We'll dive into the NBA. Matt George, kind enough to join us. Normally, he joins us very late in the show. Today, he's going to join us very early. He'll be with us coming up around 1:15. There's a lot to get to. We got a busy day ahead. We're thrilled that you're with us. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Today's episode of D'Lo and KC is brought to you by trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320.
Go.
Take advantage of the free nutritionist consultation that they got offering for you. Take advantage of the free macro calculator. Take advantage of all of the wonderful things that they got over there for you at trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. There's a link directly to Map Nutrition. Our man Delivery Joe has taken advantage. Our man Norm went in there grabbed some supplements, grabbed some things to help him sleep, grabbed that protein powder. Find out what you need to improve your health and or your fitness. trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320, a website that they created just for you. Again, trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320.
Real quick, you know something that I saw yesterday this is me, the player, me, the leader, me, the coach. I think about this kind of stuff, and I was glad to hear about this. I was talking to Ronnie Bell yesterday. And Ronnie Bell, because they had practice or whatever, and he was just like, yeah, you know, it was really, it wasn't missed on me, and it was really important. Like, Brock was really encouraging to me. Brock really lifted me up, got my mind right, talked to me, you know, and he really helped me out because I was pretty down on Sunday, but Brock really helped me out. And I know that fans and media can they can do whatever they want. They're not in the locker room. They're not the leader. But that's what you're supposed to do. The answer isn't cut Ronnie Bell or not play him. Or that's not even Brock's decision. Brock, as a leader, his job is to put his arm around Ronnie Bell and be like, bro, it's okay. I got you. I'm going to come back to you. Be ready. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. And I sometimes get caught up in between the two because I'm not gonna go crazy on Ronnie Bell because I was watching the game and I threw my hat down when it happened. I was just as mad as everybody else and had the natural reaction. And then after the game, they lost. Ronnie Bell. But then I was like, all right, well, he's on your team. Like, he's there. You got injuries. You kind of need him. How can you build him back up? Not just get rid of him. You don't need to get him out of here. That's not the answer. Now, I was glad to hear that's the interaction Ronnie Bell had with Brock Purdy and probably some other teammates during the week. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be. Something like that happens, your leaders are supposed to go to him and put their arm around him and be like, it's okay. You're with us. Get ready for the next one. That's how it should be.
You fired him on Sunday night on TV.
I didn't fire him. I said I didn't know what was going to happen.
Are you sure?
I said I didn't know.
Might have Jake check the tape.
No. I said I didn't know what was going to happen. I said he might need the red fin. Might need the red fin. Okay. I can't look. As much as I feel the way I feel, like, hey, put your arm around him, I can't stop anybody from doing what they do.
I'm just saying, in the moment, this was Sunday. Not to break kayfabe, it was Sunday at like 7 o'clock. You fired the man,
the dirtiest player in the game,
bro. I fired him on television.
I didn't fire him because I talked about both of my Michigan guys, and I said you guys had a rough day.
Yeah.
So I didn't fire Jake Moody. So I know I didn't fire.
I mean, I got my Michigan jokes off. Jake Moody's missed one kick all year.
It was tough.
Was the Redfin password?
I didn't have any confidence in that one.
Was the Redfin password offered to Ronnie Bell though?
I told him to get ready for it. I mean, you got to be prepared for it. Not, look, it's not me.
It's, told that man to go look for another house.
You can't miss that one. You can't miss that one. But Ronnie Bell, get yourself together, man. Get yourself together because you never know when that opportunity is going to be coming. Mm-hmm. You can't be sulking. You can't be worried about it no more. You may be thrown in there on another third down again this week, and you have to perform if you want to keep your job. And that's not even me being tough. Like, that's just the nature of professional sports. That's the nature of sports. You got to be ready for the next one.
You do. Yep. I mean, he had dropped passes earlier in the game, and Brock still went to him. Mm-hmm. You got to reward your quarterback's confidence at the same time, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can have a bad game. You can't have bad weeks. Unfortunately, because of where you are, you can't have bad weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely not fair, but it's the game.
That is sports. That is professional sports. Yeah, as much as I like you, it don't matter how much I like you or believe in your talent or whatever. Like, you got to produce. Can you think of the most famous? Eventually, you have to reward your quarterback's trust in you. Game, the first one that comes to your mind.
You have to
like a bunch of drops, and then you gotta come through.
I know. It's probably something obvious that I just can't think of on the spot.
T.O. Owens. I think he had 5 drops in that game.
I don't even remember that. I remember the touchdown.
Yeah, he dropped a touchdown, and I'm not gonna say he claimed it's real. He's like, I can't see. Sun was in my eyes. I couldn't see. He had like 5 drops that game. And Steve Young, biggest play of the game.
So who knew that the you can't see me was I can't see the ball? Who knew?
That's where Tony Yayo got it from. That's where John Cena got it from. Man. He said, I couldn't see it. The sun was in my eyes. And I was like, argh!
You know, John Cena gives Tony Yayo credit for that.
Oh, yeah.
He does.
He's a hip-hop head. Yeah, he know hip-hop.
He was like, that wasn't mine. Yeah. Like, I guess I just introduced it to a bunch of kids who had never seen it before. That was not mine. Do you think... Scratch that. How many quarterbacks do you think can mask their team's deficiencies? Do you think it's a lot? Like, if you're weak on the offensive end, maybe your running game is a little weak. Maybe you don't have the Tyreek Hill, Deebo Samuel, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson type receivers. How many quarterbacks in the league do you think can mask their team's poor offense, maybe average offense, less than average offense?
It feels like no more than a handful.
That's what I thought. Like, obviously Mahomes is going to come to mind. I do think it's fair to put Josh Allen in this category right now.
You throw Lamar in there, too.
So we can dance around all, like, who's in it. The question, though, is one that Jesse posed that I thought was a good one. Is Brock?
It's too early to tell.
Is Brock a quarterback who can mask the San Francisco 49ers' shortcomings? Deebo was out. Mm-hmm. Kittle was out. Christian McCaffrey was out. I asked during the Brandon Ayuk contract nonsense if Juwan Jennings could be a one. Mm-hmm. And I think the consensus from my two experts, you and Kyle, were no. Mm-hmm. He lacked. There's a lot of There's a lot of things that separate Brandon Ayuk from Juwan Jennings. Mm-hmm. But Rams week was Juwan's week.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because of Brock Purdy. We've seen what Jordan Mason has been able to do for the first 3 weeks of the season. Obviously, Trent Williams and that offensive line play a big part in that as well. But so does Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel like Brock might be one of those guys who can mask a few deficiencies that the 49ers may have, whether long-term or short-term, on the offensive side of the ball.
He might be. He might be. I would say right now, if you ask me, I'm not going to give him that distinction just yet. I need to see more situations like this. And when I say more situations, like, we may not find out for a couple years. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's that type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, right now it's injuries, but you hope that's not going to be the case all year. He's going to get guys back. He'll have the rest of the year with his playmakers, all this other stuff. Next year, they got the same bet. 2 years from now, he may be looking at what, like, Josh Allen's looking at right now. And then you'll see, can he really do it? It was impressive on Sunday, the way I'm a believer in Brock. Like, if I'm not trying to sit on the fence, so if you ask me, I would say, yeah, he's that guy because I believe in his talent. But as far as actually doing it, that was a good step in the direction. We still got to find out over the course of time. But the way he played on Sunday, it didn't look like he was like worried about, oh, this guy's not here or whatever the case may be. He's like, oh, I'm manipulate this. Juwan Jennings will be open. Boom, I'm going to hit him. Simple as that. And Juwan Jennings, I still don't think he could be a number one, but I was thinking in the middle of that game, I'm going to come on this show on Tuesday, and say, oh, did we underrate Juwan Jennings? You can't really do it. Oh, you can, but it doesn't hit the same because they lost. But, I mean, he might, and you know I'm a big Juwan Jennings fan, have been. Like, that's my guy. Maybe even I underrated him.
Mm.
He is a reliable, good wide receiver, and we think a lot of the times about all the things that he can't do,
mm-hmm.
and focus on that as opposed to the things that he does, the knack that he has for that position, just naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's one of those guys. He's not a burner. He's not super fast, but he knows how to position himself between the quarterback and the DB, so you have a good target. Big guy, so that helps with the target as well. He's fearless. He's tough. He can take a hit. So I think a lot of that was on display on Sunday when he was given the opportunity to be, if not the number one receiver, one of the top receivers.
Yeah, and a lot of that is because he's getting those opportunities because Ayuk doesn't seem to be there right now, though he got the targets, which I think is actually kind of lost in this discussion. Mm-hmm. About Brandon Ayuk, because he was targeted double-digit times. Like, Brock was trying to find him. Of course, he has some drops.
Yeah, and the play was tough. Like, that, with Brandon Ayuk did his job there. Brock didn't do his job on that mm-hmm. one. And for whatever reason, what I'm talking about is late in that game, Brandon Ayuk, whether it was busted coverage or whatever,
yeah,
is wide open for a walk-in touchdown. And it felt like Brock saw him, but he saw him a little late for where he was comfortable with and just kind of hitched and like, ah. And then brought it back.
So looking at that's the one Baldy did the breakdown on, right?
I think so. I haven't seen his breakdown, but
Baldy did a breakdown, and I think Brian Baldinger is terrific at this. Mm-hmm. This is like absolutely his bag. I think if you watch the film without the audio, though, you could watch it a little bit differently. And then reading, and of course, this is complete hindsight at this point. You got the all 22s. You also got Kyle Shanahan talking about that specific play in great detail, and he talked about the hitch and the busted coverage, and what it looked like is, and I think the way Kyle described it is, Brandon did what he's supposed to do. He broke off the route because Purdy wasn't exactly sure where he was going. Mm-hmm. He had that split second to make the decision, mm-hmm. and he didn't. And the second he didn't, that wide open space into the end zone was gone. Because there was a receiver and a defender behind him,
right.
And it's tough because this is what separates good quarterbacks from great quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. It's the split decision or the split second decision making. Mm-hmm. He saw it, didn't go with it, and then wound up going the other direction. And this is also where, you know, it's not fair, because you look at that and you go, Brock, that's literally your job right there. You're paid to make, well, not a lot, but you're still paid to make that decision. Not having camp, not having time together, knowing, hey, when I break off a route, this is where I'm going.
Right.
That's tough for everyone involved. It's tough for Brandon Ayuk, because Brandon Ayuk certainly feels like, hey, I'm wide open. Mm-hmm. Brock certainly feels like he was wide open and I missed it, but I wasn't exactly sure what was going on right there. It's why no one wins.
Yeah.
It's why when this type of stuff happens, nobody wins, because Brandon didn't do anything wrong. Brock really didn't do anything wrong. I mean, split second decision, he missed it. You got to dock him for that.
Right.
But in the end, the fact that those two weren't together probably was a big reason why that play transpired the way that it did.
Yeah. And it's I would need somebody who understands scouting and maybe even the game of football in general more than me to understand what's a priority. But I feel like I'd much rather have a guy who protects the ball. And that's kind of what Brock did. Like, he saw it, wasn't sure, I'm going to protect it and not force it, as opposed to an old gunslinger who's just going to throw it out there.
Oh, he's playing with joy.
Just going to throw it out there. Like, sometimes it'll work and he'll be there. And then sometimes I'll throw in the triple coverage and get a pick because I didn't anticipate. You know, I'd much rather a guy a little bit more conservative. So I would always say, Brock, if you weren't sure, you made the right decision. Hold it in. Mm-hmm. Let's live to play another down. But it's the same thing. Like, I think about I think it's always so I don't know if unfair is the right word, but when people talk about Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl and after they lost the lead and he overthrows Emmanuel Sanders, and people are like, oh man, Jimmy just missed him. Overthrew a wide open Emmanuel Sanders. I've always believed I can stomach somebody overthrowing somebody as opposed to underthrowing somebody. Like, if he's – think if it happened the other way. Emmanuel Sanders breaks through and he's gone and Jimmy throws it 5 yards short. And it's like, just throw the ball as far as you can and get it out there. I can stomach that. But that's kind of like how I feel with this whole Brock thing. Like, I can stomach you being cautious and not turning the ball over in that situation if you aren't 100% sure or even 80% sure, as opposed to just, like I said, oh, the old gunslinger, let's throw it.
Plays
like,
with joy.
No. But that all came about saying, I agree they're a little bit off, but there has been plays like that, and there were plays in a Minnesota game where Ayuk is getting open more than it kind of feels like, and it goes back to your point, which you just talked about, though. The chemistry isn't there between those two. So even if Brandon is doing his job, mm-hmm. getting open more than we realize, him and Brock aren't necessarily on the same page the way they might be if they had been playing football for the last, you know, 6 weeks leading into the into the season.
Yeah. Timing and chemistry takes time. Even when you have a season of establishing, sometimes you've just got to get re-familiar. It's not having to learn everything. It's just getting re-familiar. And these guys are so, it's only been a handful of weeks here at this point, and it's been openly acknowledged by everybody involved. You need more than that. Mm-hmm. And no one likes to talk about that part like Trent Williams did, because you just, whose fault is that?
Yeah.
Well, some people will say it's Trent's fault. Some people will say it's the 49ers' fault. Back to the original statement, nobody wins when this stuff happens.
Yeah.
You can go ask Cincinnati how they feel.
Yeah.
About what's going on right now. Like, no one wins.
It's as simple as that. No one wins when the family feud is Hov once said. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm fully convinced between, like, this year, and I was really convinced during the COVID year that you brought up yesterday, the NFL didn't have.
No, they were good.
No, everything's good. What COVID is what they were saying.
Jam-packed to the rafters.
Between seeing how the people performed and their health with no preseason games, and now seeing some of these guys without training camp, I'm fully convinced. Yeah, like, you need all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Before people were like, why do you need the preseason games? Yeah. It's a money grab by the owners. It probably is, but you need it.
Well, both things can be true. Let's keep it real.
The teams need it. The teams need a 6-week training camp, you know, to operate. If we're talking about like week one operating at full strength and we have all these stats about 0-2 teams and 0-3 teams and 1-3 teams, if you are expected to start the season as close to full speed as possible, yeah, you need all the training camp, and you need like 2 or 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm fully convinced at this point. So I'm not in the camp of do away with the preseason anymore.
Brandon Ayuk gave a pretty honest media scrum yesterday where he acknowledged playing with the weight of his new contract is different.
Mm.
It's the first time he's like, yeah, like it's different. Like it feels different. There's a lot more pressure on me to perform, and I don't think I'm handling it very well.
Mm.
And I thought that was, I think some of these guys have had some pretty honest moments over the course of the last couple of weeks, but it's like, all right, that's good. It's good you acknowledge that. You said it publicly. Hopefully it helps you feel better. But at some point, brother, you're going to have to be WR1. Like, you've got to be that guy.
You got to kick that.
Mm-hmm.
You kick
and if
that.
Again, nobody wins. If you and Brock, if y'all got to be together for 3 hours after practice, and y'all got to be together for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to go over all of these. If you got to go over film for an additional hour, like, that's stuff that you have to do because you're going to be important. You are important to what the 49ers are doing. And if we're watching Kittle's hamstring for the next 16 weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, 15 weeks or whatever, if we're watching Debo, you know, when he returns, watching that calf, like, bro, you're going to be a major, major part. We don't even know. I think there's a real conversation whether Christian McCaffrey's going to play football this year.
Yeah. I'm just preparing myself for compartmentalizing, but I'm just preparing myself.
It's a pessimistic view.
Yeah,
you're believing the worst is coming.
I don't know if I'm going to see Christian mm-hmm. McCaffrey this year.
No, I think
when I heard he got on that plane and went to Germany, and you did a good job breaking down yesterday the difference between searching for answers going to Germany and getting a procedure done.
It does not sound like he is searching for something.
Right.
He went there for a very specific reason.
Right. That gave me a little hope because there is a difference. There's a major difference. But I'm kind of...
And he's going there for that procedure because someone told him, mm-hmm. hey, this probably is what we're looking for. They don't do it here.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that was followed up with, here's why they don't do it here.
Right.
And here's why they're comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
And Christian McCaffrey, being comfortable with all of that, says, all right, mm-hmm. I'm out of here.
But I'm to your original point, I'm preparing to not see Christian McCaffrey this year, mentally and emotionally. And yeah, to the whole original question, Brock Purdy looks like he may be on track to being one of those guys, though, you know, to be able to make things happen with not just anybody, but if you don't have these superstars around him, like he can elevate. I really believe, because I believe in the way he processes the game and information. I believe in Kyle Shanahan and all this other stuff. As long as Brock has a pretty good offensive line, I think he'll be okay as a quarterback.
Do the 49ers need CMC to get to the Super Bowl? Not win, but to get through the NFC?
The only reason I hesitate is because I don't believe the NFC is like... If they were in the, I've said this since the summer. The Niners were in the AFC, I'd feel different about their chances to get to the Super Bowl. The NFC... I think you can. I'll answer the question. I think you can get to the Super Bowl in the NFC without CMC.
Here's my only pause to that, to your answer to Jesse's question, is the best the 49ers have been in the last year and a half is with Christian McCaffrey.
Fair.
No.
Yes, it's the best. Fair. Yeah, but
they
think
make
you can
that
still
run
really good
though,
and get through the NFC.
The year before we got there, they got to the NFC Championship game. And lost to the Rams.
Okay. No. Do you think they were better the next year?
Yeah, because they're at their best with CMC, for sure. But
asking them to get back there without Christian McCaffrey, I think is tough. if Jordan Mason
it's
is,
tough. I agree.
If Jordan Mason is 80 to 100 every game, I'll feel different. Mm-hmm. I want them to get Jordan involved in other ways. Mm-hmm. I thought we started. Of course, it's week three. I thought we started to see some signs of that really, really early in the Rams game. I think he had like 2 catches for 11 yards, something like that. I think they were in the first 2 drives. Mm-hmm. I don't know that happened again.
Right.
And I started to think in that moment, they got something. All right, this is. I was looking for the Le'Veon Bell aspect,
yeah.
Less the Christian McCaffrey, right? Because saying Jordan Mason could come and beat Christian McCaffrey is such a slap in the face of what Christian McCaffrey right. has been doing since he arrived at Stanford. But if he could catch passes out of the backfield the way that Le'Veon Bell did and turn them into big games, man, that or decent gains, man, that could be a Le'Veon Bell was one of the best receivers out of the backfield, running backs out of the back, that I think there was.
Yeah.
And
that's something I just haven't seen from Jordan Mason. Like
I don't know if it's anything they've tried yet.
I don't know if he's capable of that.
And that's the other thing.
Right.
If he's not, then I'll have a lot more reservations about pushing the 49ers through to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. My only reservation is, and I don't say this in like a cocky way, but who's going to stop them?
The 49ers?
Yeah, in the NFC. Like who right now are we looking at in the NFC and be like, Niners can't beat them without CMC?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not to get a joke off, it's not a 7-game series. You're asking me who can beat them one time in one game.
Yeah.
And there's a, like, you could get Detroit on the right day.
I think Detroit can beat them with CMC.
There's your answer. Yeah. And I mean, there's probably, you know, Baker could light him up for.
I'll play Baker at some point. But to be honest with you, it feels like that might be it.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions. Sure. I mean, we don't know how this Minnesota thing is going to shake out moving forward. We certainly don't know how Seattle's going to shake out moving forward. I think Detroit was there last year, so people are comfortable saying Detroit. I think there's still a story to be told with Arizona that I'd like to see develop. I still think there's a story to be told with Philadelphia. See what that looks like.
Just glad they won last week. Sirianni will stay around.
Well, that's the other thing. Sirianni will always be there. You know, but Washington's another team to watch. There's a lot of prove it games. I don't know if anyone's looked at the schedule. We'll do that together. Stuff, there's some big time games this weekend.
Well, and I also say I compare that to if the Niners were in the AFC. I would say the Chiefs, the Texans, the Bills.
Yeah, yeah.
Baltimore.
Without even thinking about it. I got
you. What I mean? Like, we got 4 or 5 teams that I think could push them with or without CMC.
Yeah.
So, I don't think the NFC is that deep right now.
We'll come back. Okay. I'm going to ask you to expand upon that. Plus, we'll talk to WNBA. And Derrick Rose retires.
Yeah.
Interesting conversation around Derrick Rose.
I heard something on the insiders. Yeah, I want to talk about, and I got a take, and I want to see what you think about it.
Okay. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today.
Yes, indeed.
KC's actually going to be leaving us just before the final hour of the show because he's been invited to an important event.
What?
Well, D-Lo would just be here to
see. Don't just, that's
like, it's like
see,
a it's like a,
see how
it's,
the media
it's,
does
it's,
stuff.
It's a married
man.
Couple. I gotta stay at the house and clean up and take care of the kids while Casey goes and does all of the fun stuff. Matt George gets to do some of that fun stuff too. So instead of joining us in the 3 o'clock hour, he's going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes or so. We'll move along to the W here in just a heartbeat. You said something, though, that got my attention. We were talking about the NFC. We were talking about Brock Purdy, obviously, the San Francisco 49ers. It all started, the Dallas Cowboys, of course, and the New York Giants tonight, kicking off week 4 of Thursday night football, and how the Cowboys desperately need to get a win, but getting a win doesn't really do much but calm the waters. Like, no one goes, all right, They're off and running. It's like, all right, bro, you beat the Giants. Cool. You're going to have to beat somebody better. And you're going to have to win games in succession here. Because winning twice every 4 weeks is going to get you guys absolutely nowhere. But the conversation kind of evolved into, you know, Brock Purdy, the 49ers, of course, Christian McCaffrey. The 49ers play without Christian McCaffrey. Jesse asking the San Francisco 49ers to get to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey. And the crux of your argument was that the NFC isn't necessarily that strong. So losing Christian McCaffrey, while it's a blow, while it's a big blow, the 49ers have enough talent to kind of counter that, at least in comparison to the other talent in the NFC. Mm-hmm. Who are the top teams in the NFC right now?
So,
like, true threats.
We're talking about Super Bowl contenders?
Well, this is the thing. See, I don't know if you got it. Well, Damian might know. I don't think Jesse knows. It's like spades, right? I think with the NFC, you got like one book and like four maybes. That's what it is. As opposed to the NFC, the AFC, they're like, oh, yeah, we got five. We got five or two maybes. We cooking.
It pisses me off when you do this.
He's right. I haven't played spades.
No, that's fine. You're allowed to say that. It's fine that you say that. And you know I don't. That's why you do this.
You play dominoes, though.
Yeah, I play dominoes.
I don't play dominoes.
I play dominoes.
I'll be getting my ass beat in dominoes.
Well, that's why no one wants to play. This is a good thing you don't play. You just learned how to play spades in the history of this show, didn't you?
I learned
it's within the last 4 years.
So no, I learned about I'd say about 10 years ago, and then I played it that night, learned it, all make perfect sense, and then I forgot. And then I relearned it during the course of the show. I was like, oh yeah, that is how you play. And now I'm on. But yeah. So for those that don't know spades, like when you have a book, that's something like, yeah, I know I'm winning at this. I know I'm winning the book with this one. So you got that, you count that as one. You tell your partner, yeah, I got one. But then you got someone like, I might win the book with this one. I don't know. It depends on what they got over here. So you say, I got one with three maybes, right? And that's crazy. Like, that's crazy to say. Like, you'd usually be like, I got three with two maybes. And I think the NFC is crazy. Like, you got one. I think the Niners are one. And I think you got like five maybes.
I think you got to throw the Lions in there now.
So, okay. So who's the one?
I said the Niners are the one.
Oh, the Niners are the one. So yeah. Who are the maybes?
And I'm not. The maybes are, I put the Lions in the maybe. I put the Packers in the maybe.
Okay. All right.
I put the Saints in the maybe.
So you're not buying the Vikings at all?
I put the Vikings in the maybe. Maybe okay. You got six maybes. But once again, people who disagree, I compare that to the AFC. The AFC has like four books, like mm-hmm. Baltimore, Kansas City, mm-hmm. the Texans, the Bills.
Buffalo, yeah.
Like that's, and then we got some maybes, and the Steelers are a maybe. The Dolphins, when they were healthy, are a maybe.
I appreciate you
know
that.
I mean? Well, when they were healthy. When they
no,
were
don't healthy. Even, don't even fix it, bro. You said Miami.
But yeah, like though they, am I off? Like they don't have that in the NFC.
No. Yeah, you're not off at all. I think that's a perfect assessment. I think what's happening right now, and again, it's 3 weeks into this thing. We're starting week four tonight. This is all just talk. That's all we're doing is talking because we don't know where this Seahawks run is going to take us. We don't know what version of the New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers is real. Shoot, after 3 weeks, the 1-2 team in Atlanta is the one who I look at and go, you know, I don't think they're that bad. Mm. The other two, I'm like, well, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. I still trust the Saints-ish. Mm. I don't trust them with my money or, you know, my loved ones. But, okay, trust was the wrong word. I'll keep an eye on the Saints.
You tolerate them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think I buy them maybe a smidge bit more than Baker, my boy Baker and the Bucks down there. But we'll let that develop. There's a lot of that in the conference, and that's what it boils down to. The Lions is simple. hey, do it again. And that's tough. Like, running it back is brutal. Got to see it. Go talk to Mike Brown and Monty McNair about running it back.
Yeah.
Just running it back the next year and tell me how it goes. So I think that that descriptor of the NFL is on point.
And the other thing about it, not to go all Bill Walton, RIP to the legend, but it's also too early to tell.
Of course.
You ask me in 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I might have some more definitive books for you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
But, yeah, I think your original question, who are the teams in the NFC? I think you got the 49ers. It sounds crazy. It sounds weird. But maybe even disrespectful. I believe in the Vikings more than I believe in the Seahawks.
I don't think that's disrespectful.
I think that's right.
That's fine.
But you didn't say the Seahawks are ass. You said you believe in the Vikings more than the Seahawks. There's nothing wrong with that.
But if we were
talking about... But you think the Seahawks are ass? Is that what you're...
No, but like if you talk about contenders, I don't feel the same way about the Seahawks as I do the Vikings.
I got you. It looks different. The eye test is different.
Yeah. Green Bay got to get a tip of the hat for what they've been able to do with Jordan Love out
there. Ooh, and no, man, Packers-Vikings this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think they're a contender. I think right now I got all three of those teams in the South being contenders, the Bucks, Falcons, and Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going with Philly right now. Washington, I got my eye on.
Not there yet.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just going with Philly right now in the East, so... What I list off about 6-7 teams right there,
mm-hmm.
as contenders.
Yeah. Okay.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in-wash scent beads.